Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta. Maggie Roach passed away in 2017 after a long battle with cancer. Maggie was a member of the innovative folk trio, The Roaches, along with her sisters, Terry and Suzzy. The Roaches created distinctive harmonies together for almost 40 years with songs like this one. It's called Malachy's.
Eddie said the beat was wrong. Tom didn't like the tune. The boy with the beard in the corner laughed in the middle of the song. He didn't stay very long.
Now Suzzy has compiled a collection of songs by Maggie called Where Do I Come From?
Well, it really took me about a year until I was ready to try to do it. When Maggie died in the last couple of weeks, she asked me to do something with her music. And, you know, then she died, and then 4 months later, my mother died. And so the whole year was just, you know, a complete, black time for me. And it wasn't until the next year that I actually started to think, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And so Dick Kinnett from Story Sound Records told me that he would help me.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I began the process of going through all the material and all the music that she had left and trying to put together something that I felt would represent her life's work.
Where Do I Come From features four previously unreleased recordings, including the title track. Can you tell me about how you found this song?
Well, I had many, many boxes of tapes, cassettes, and other things that I took from her apartment. And I went through everything, and I found that little song. I think it was probably the last song she wrote. It was very recent, and I just was so struck by it.
Yeah, it's a very beautiful song. It has this, to my ears, it has a really wistful, melancholic feel. And I'm thinking especially about the very last two lines.
No one seems to hear the beating of my heart. Don't want you to come near.
What's your take on this song?
Well, I do think that Maggie was, you know, having a very hard time in the last few years of her life. She was ill,
mm-hmm.
and she didn't tell anyone. And I think she felt very alone. But I also know that she was very interested in the refugee crisis around the world and the migrants. And I know that because I found also among her things all these places where she was donating. So I think part of her really identified with the feeling of being misplaced or displaced from her own life, you know.
Another one of the previously unreleased songs is a song called Down the Dream. Can you tell me about this one?
Yeah, that song is actually was recorded for the record Seductive Reasoning, but this recording of it was a live recording in the studio. And the story, as I heard it, was that Maggie and Terry were over in England making a record, and the record company called and had heard some of the tapes they were making and said, we don't really care for them, so come home. And I think that recording was made the night that they got that news.
Stopped to leave at the entrance to the highway. The leg of an underpair.
How does this previously unreleased version of Down the Dream, how is it different from the version that's on the Seductive Reasoning album?
Well, it's got a lot of different lyrics, and also it's probably about twice as long mm-hmm. and very, very spaced out. But you really hear Maggie singing freely. And I think one of the things about Maggie was she always wanted to be free.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're making records and dealing with record companies and everything, it's very hard to do that.
Yeah. There's something about siblings and the way that they're able to harmonize so beautifully, and the Roaches are a perfect example. Do you have any ideas, any theories about why you and your sister's voices blend so well?
I think it's just, in our case, something that we did from such an early age
mm-hmm.
that it's still hard for me to sing by myself. I kind of crave the physical sensation of singing in harmony. And we were very, very strict about rehearsing and making sure it was all very perfect. And I don't think that that's something that regularly happens. We were almost like a choir.
Yeah, that's true. And is that part of, like, your harmonies have been described as unusual?
You can go south in winter, be what you are.
Yes, because we were very untrained for the most part. And so we were just going note by note, and everybody would get a note. Or sometimes Maggie would come in with a complete arrangement. And I also hear things in harmony just naturally. I kind of like what the three parts do to the voice of a song, because it sort of removes one personality and gives it a little bit of distance.
Sure. Maggie had an unusual contralto voice, almost a baritone. How would you describe the way her voice fit into the sound of the Roaches?
Well, she definitely has had various distinctive low end to her voice, but she also could go very high.
Mm-hmm.
She just was naturally gifted in that way, and she also had an uncanny knack for harmony.
In a story for the New York Times Magazine, after Maggie died, John Lincoln described Maggie's songs as, quote, vignettes of emotional hypersensitivity, end quote. What do you think of that description?
I think Maggie was extremely sensitive, which was part of her brilliance as a songwriter, but it also caused her a lot of trouble. Because walking through the world could be a painful experience for her.
You said that Maggie thought differently from other people and that she seemed to always be coming up against conventions. Can you talk a bit about that and how that sort of sense of outsiderness kind of found its way into her songs?
Yes, well, she has always been very unconventional. Even as a little kid, she was always coming up against the rules and the authorities. You know, she wanted to be free, and she wanted to be free to express herself without being categorized. She thought differently. I mean, one of the great, wonderful joys of my life has been that I was privy to Maggie's conversation. When she was very shy, but when she was with somebody that she trusted, she would just talk and talk and talk, and she had the most unusual point of view. And her writing is just, I mean, I always felt that her songs were just, there was just something about them that was, you kind of can recognize greatness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if she had been a solo performer, she may have gotten more of attention than she got being in the group.
Yeah.
But I don't think she had this strength really to go out alone in the world.
Mm-hmm. It seems that Maggie wrote a lot of songs about the relationships between men and women and what it was like to be a woman during the 1970s. I'm thinking especially of songs like Underneath the Moon, The Married Man, and This Feminine Position.
We can
can discuss the menu. We can.
Yes, I think Maggie was a fierce feminist, actually, but she wouldn't probably describe herself with that kind of label. But she, you know, we grew up in a family where we were not told that women were less than men. And so when we got out into the world and realized, oh, that's not the way it always works, I think it really hit hard. And also the Roaches, we were, you know, fierce when we came out of the gate.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then we ran up against, once again, conventions. And we were very unconventional.
And
then you can kind of see, as Maggie got older, that she softened and her philosophy became wider, I think, and, you know, more mature.
And yet there's this other side to Maggie in the sense that she'd also write a song like My Winter Coat.
The fit is generous and loose. The coat is filled with down of goose. Should I feel guilty about that? I wouldn't wear the fur of a cat.
Is this song an example of Maggie thinking differently from other people?
I would say so.
Yeah.
You know, that coat, she wrote this 8-minute song about a coat, but that coat was everything to her. I mean, she really loved the coat.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. You know, she knew every detail of that coat, obviously. It's funny, but it's also dead serious.
One of the most beautiful Roaches songs is the Hammond song, which was written by Maggie, and it's from your 1979 self-titled debut album, which was produced by Robert Fripp of King Crimson fame. He also plays guitar on the album. And because the instrumentation on this song is kind of sparse, it really shows off your harmonies.
Come on, you're lying to me.
What is the Hammond song about?
Well, I don't like to presume to interpret Maggie's songs, but I think what happened was there was a period of time after Maggie and Terry made Seductive Reasoning where, you know, it was sort of considered a failure in the world, even though it's a classic now.
Oh, yeah.
They went down to Hammond, Louisiana, and lived in a sort of a kung fu temple, which I also went down there. And Maggie and I had jobs at a truck stop, and Terry worked at the local diner. And I think my parents were not happy about that. And so I think probably that song came out of that experience.
In 1990, you, Terry, and Maggie released the holiday album, We Three Kings, and Maggie wrote a song for the album called Christmas Love, but she didn't write it in time to make it on the album. So you and other members of your family have recorded it, especially for this new compilation album. Can you tell me a bit about this song?
Yeah, that was so, that was kind of a miraculous moment in the project because I was looking through all of her things for that song and I couldn't find it. And then out of the blue one day, I got an email from, you know, a Roaches fan, and he asked me, he said, I heard this song once and it really helped me through a terrible time, and it was about Christmas. And I wrote back and I said, oh, yeah, that's Maggie's Christmas song. Unfortunately, I can't find it. He said, I have a tape of it. And he had somehow, I guess it was on the radio. I think we only performed it once. And he had this tape. And so he sent it to me, and I was able to relearn the song. The recording wasn't good enough to use, but so that was kind of a magical sign along the way that this was a good idea.
The cold, it is clear like a sin.
favorite Maggie Roach song? That's a tough question because she's written so many great songs, but is there one that really resonates with you more than any other song?
Well, yes, actually. I think the masterpiece of Maggie's is a song called A Dove. Mm. And it's on the record called A Dove. And she, to me, every time I listen to that song, I'm amazed by what it's saying and the poetry of it and the beauty of the arrangement, the everything about it. I think that that's kind of a pinnacle of her work.
A dove settled on a sill, and I called my cat. Love, if looks could kill, and that was that.
Do you have a favorite memory of Maggie that you can share with us?
Oh, well, I have so many, yeah. many wonderful memories of Maggie. We had so many laughs and so many ridiculous things happened, you know, through many years. But the last 2 months of her life, we really, really got to spend so much wonderful time together, quiet time. Just I would bring her over a blueberry muffin every morning. Hmm. And then, you know, the very last moment of her consciousness, the last thing that she said to me was, thank you.
Hmm.
She said, thank you for being here. And I said, well, that's of course, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the last exchange we had. So that is very still fresh in my mind, even though it's almost 2 years ago.
That was Suzzy Roach of the Roaches reflecting on her late sister Maggie. Suzzy has compiled a collection of Maggie's work for a new album called Where Do I Come From? You can find out more about Suzzy and Maggie at wpr.org/beta.
It's like their personality almost disappears into the genre. Like when they make a film like Miller's Crossing, you can tell it's them because it's complicated and because it's smart, but they really are kind of working in the spirit of Dashiell Hammett there.
Up next, film critic Adam Neyman shares his grand unified theory of what really ties the Coen brothers' films together.
That rug really tied the room together, did it not?
No, it's not the rug. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta on Wisconsin Public Radio.